to the business meeting of the Falls Baptist Church. So I don't remember the pastor announcing a business meeting, but tonight you are going to vote on the mission budget for Falls Baptist Church. And by the way, all of you are going to vote. Now, anytime we have an election, anytime we have something of this nature, then there's some options. So here are some options tonight for you. You can say, well, I'm not going to give anything to missions this year. Now, that would be a bad thing, would it not? And you know what that would mean? That means I'm going to vote that we stop supporting missionaries from Falls Baptist Church. That would be a bad vote, amen. In fact, you might well close the doors if that's your vote, okay? And you say, well, I'm going to give something, but I've had kind of a hard year, so I'm going to give less than I did last year. Now, if that would be the vote of the major part of the people, then you'd have to say, well, we're going to keep supporting some missionaries, but we'll have to cut back on their support, and we won't be able to help in projects and things of that nature, okay? And then you can say, well, I'm going to continue to give what I gave last year. And that means, okay, we'll just keep doing what we're doing, but we won't be able to go forward. And by the way, we're either going forward or we're going backwards, okay? And or you can say, by the grace of God, I'm going to give more this year than I've ever given before. And that would mean that at the end of the service tonight, we can all say hallelujah. That'd be a good hallelujah offering, amen. And that we can do more for missions than we've ever done before. So thank you for letting me be here tonight. And I think I'll be in chapel tomorrow morning. And then Tuesday, I'll be going back home. And I do ask you to pray for me. I tell people everywhere, these are my two prayer requests. Number one, and some lady said to me this afternoon, or after the service, Brother Sisk, I pray for you every week. And I appreciate that. I need that. So here, let me give you two prayer requests. Number one, pray that I will have the physical strength for a heavy schedule. I've had very few open Sundays. Last year, I had three open Sundays. Two of them was on my vacation with the kids. The other one was Christmas Sunday, okay? And I don't have many open Sundays. So pray that I have physical strength. But I don't want to just be somewhere. So pray, and most of all, pray that I would have spiritual power. Until Virginia went to heaven, I canceled all my meetings for well over 9 months and just was with her constantly. And my prayer was, dear Lord, let me live long enough and have enough strength to take care of Virginia. And when she went to heaven, my prayer became, dear Lord, let me live till I die. Well, you say, well, Brother Sis, you're going to live till you die. You don't have to pray about that. But what I meant was, dear Lord, let me be useful in your work till I die. Now, I know I don't have any right to tell Jesus how I want to die and so forth. But since I'm his son, I have a right to ask him, amen. So pray that I would have spiritual power and that we would see God doing some wonderful things. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'll begin reading with verse 8. Would you like to stand to honor God's word tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Paul talking about the church at Corinth, giving to the offering. Now remember, the offering was not for the church at Corinth. It was to be given through the church at Corinth, but it was going to causes outside of your own local church. So it's a mission offering. And Paul makes this statement, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. Now notice, Paul said in verse 8, I'm not speaking by command. Then now here in verse 10 he said, I'm giving you some advice. And by the way, since it's in the Bible, it's good advice because it is inspired by God. Amen. Now here's his advice. Herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Dear Lord, speak again tonight to our hearts. We need you, Lord. In fact, we can do nothing without your power and your presence. And I pray for your manifested presence in our midst tonight. And Lord, when the service is all over, when my life is all over, I'll be more than happy to bow my head, bend my knees, and give you all the honor and glory. I do not desire any of it, and I certainly do not deserve any of it. Bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to speak on the subject of why give to faith promise. I only have two children. So my wife and I were not scriptural. The Bible says multiply and replenish the earth. And all we did was replace ourselves. But I have some friends like Stephen that's helping me to get the average up right, okay? Now I have 6 grandchildren and their mates and 12 great-grandchildren. My oldest great-grandchild, Nathaniel, very inquisitive. And it doesn't matter what anybody tells Nathaniel to do. His reply is always the same. Why? I mean, why? And it's always been like that. Now, I remember his mother, Rebecca, saying to him one day, Nathaniel, there are some things that don't have a why. And he said, why? All right, why should I give to missions? Why should I give to missions? Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment. In other words, Paul is saying, this is not something that is commanded in the scripture. It is not something that you have to do. Okay? There's not a single verse in the Bible that commands us to give to faithful. Then if it's not a commandment, then why make a big deal about it? And by the way, it is a big deal. He said, I speak not by commandment. And number one, he said, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. You know what he's saying? Hey, I want you to see what others are doing. Look over in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. And these are some of the others that Paul is talking about. Moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What kind of churches were they? What were they going through? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Think about that. Paul said, wait a minute. Faith promise giving is not something you have to do. Faith promise giving is something you get to do. You know, every once in a while, we probably need to reprogram our mind like we do our computers. You've heard people say, well, it's Sunday, I have to go to church. It's visitation night, I have to go out calling. It's offering time, I have to put something in the offering plate. Or God's called me to do this, God led me to do it, I have to do it. Maybe we need to reprogram our mind tonight, okay? It's Sunday, I get to go to church. Hey, by the way, I love church. From the time I got saved, I've loved church. I always hated when we had a women's meeting in our church because they wouldn't let me go, okay? I mean, if the church is open, I'd like to be there. It's visitation night. It's soul winning night. I get to go out, knock on doors, invite people. I get to do that. Not something I have to do. The offering plate's being passed. I get to put something in the offering plate. And by the way, a long time ago, I developed a habit. And I determined every time the offering plate's passed, I'm going to put something in. I mean, you know, I might have to borrow it from my wife. But I'm going to put something in every time the offering plate's passed. And I never will forget, I preached in a small church not too far from where I was pastoring one Sunday afternoon. And they said, now, Brother Sisk has come from Providence, and we're going to take an offering, and all the offering will go to him. So I preached that day, and I was sitting on the front seat, and I put a dollar bill in the offering plate. Now don't look too bad. That was back in the 60s, okay? A dollar meant a dollar back in those days, doesn't it? And we had a good service, and on the way home that day, they gave me an envelope after the service was over. And on the way home, I gave the envelope to Virginia, and I said, "Hun, see what the offering was." And she looked in the offering envelope, and she started laughing. And I thought, man, maybe it's real big. And I said, "Hun, what's so funny?" She said, "Don, you know what's in this offering envelope?" "No, I don't know." "A $1 bill." And she was laughing hilariously. And finally I said, "Hun, what's so funny?" She said, "Don, I was just thinking, if you'd put more in." Okay. Good logic, amen. So now I'm putting more in, okay? So, but giving is not something I have to do. Now, I really believe personally the tithe is a command of God. You say, well, there's not much in the New Testament about it. Most of it's Old Testament. Hey, the Old Testament is inspired of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So why give? Well, look what others are doing. Paul said these churches in Macedonia, they were going through great persecution, but they had great joy. Isn't that great? Even in the midst of persecution, we can have great joy. Now, we can't have great persecution and great fun. And by the way, I'm not against having fun. I like to have fun. But you can't have fun and persecution at the same time. But you can have persecution and trials and have joy at the same time. I've seen it so many times. in the midst of great persecution, God's people can have great joy. You see, our joy does not depend on our circumstances. It depends upon the Lord that we know. And by the way, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So he said, look what others are doing. They're going through great persecution. And then he said, they're in deep poverty. And by the way, most of you know nothing about deep poverty. They're going through deep, but they give liberally. So I tell people everywhere, in your doctrine, you ought to be fundamentalist. And I know some people look down their scholarly nose and say, oh, you fundamentalist, fundamentalist. And I always tell people, if you've got one eye and a half sense, you'd be a fundamentalist. You go to the doctor, you want a liberal or a fundamental? You know, really, a fundamentalist is just somebody that goes by the book. The Bible says it, we believe it, we practice it. So you go to the doctor, and you want a liberal doctor or a fundamental doctor? Can you imagine you got appendicitis? And the doctor says, well, according to this manual, I'm supposed to give you an anesthetic, and I'm supposed to use certain instruments, but hey, I got my pocket knife here. Get up on the table. I'll take care of it. And you'd say, no, no, doc, get back to the book. Amen. Same way with the druggist. So in our doctrines, we ought to be fundamentalists. But thank God, in our giving, we ought to be liberal. Check your giving. Check of what you're spending money for other things for, and see if your faith promise tonight is really going to be a liberal offer. So he said, look what others are doing. By the way, look what the missionaries are doing. One of the hardest things for a missionary to do is to say to his father-in-law, I'm going to take your daughter and your grandchildren to a foreign country. And we won't be seeing you very much anymore. And then you get there, and you find the people don't really want you to be there. And then you get there, and you have to learn another language. Think what the missionaries are doing. And by the way, the missionary that's not the give the faith promise is not worth his weight in salt. By the way, I always tell missionaries, if you don't give the faith promise, you ought not take faith from others. So everybody ought to give. And by the way, the language is a very difficult thing, especially Japanese. I never will forget the first time I saw a Japanese Bible. I looked at it. There's nothing in this book that resembles a word. It looks like the chickens have been in a muddy field. They put their feet on the paper and put it. And I looked at that Japanese Bible, Dr. Van Gilder. And all I could think was, dear Lord, I'm from Kentucky. We have a very difficult time with English. And you expect me to learn a language like that? And I was petrified to think about having to learn Japanese. And after I'd been in language school for about 3 months, all of a sudden, one day, it dawned upon me. All of my fears were justified. It's just as difficult as you ever dreamed it could be. Another way I tell missionaries, you might as well learn to laugh with the people when they laugh at you. Because if you're learning another language, you're going to make some mistakes. I'll never forget when we started to send in Newtown Church. We just had a small rented building. And I'd give a couple of boys some 3x5 cards every day and say, now, if a visitor comes in, be sure that you write their name in Romaji, that's Roman letters, on this card. And then during the announcement time, I'll welcome the visitors. And one day I was doing that. And we had two visitors that day. And I welcomed one of them, and no problem. The next one, I said, we are happy today to have Miss Kobuta in our service. And everybody began to die laughing. And I thought, okay, what mistake did I make this time? And one of the young men said, Brother Sis, her name is not Kobuta, it's Kubota. And I thought, okay, my name is Sisk. I've been called sick, slick, everything. Big deal. Kobuta. And then I got to thinking, Ko means little. Buta means hog. So a little hog is a pig. And I called that young lady Miss Pig. Now, ordinarily, that wouldn't have made a big difference because most Japanese are very thin. Guess what? I have no idea when I preached that day. So Paul said, I'm not commanding you to do something. This is voluntary. This is free will. Okay? And then I want you to see what others are doing. And then he said, and by this, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. It's awful easy to say we love somebody, isn't it? It's awful easy to say we love missionary. We love the heathen that's never heard. We love them. We love them. And by the way, we ought to. We ought to be like God. For God so loved the world. And that means every one of the 8 billion people and everyone that has ever lived or will ever live. We ought to love them. And I think what God is saying here, what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, when you fill out your faith promise commitment card, you are proving the sincerity of your love. Now, all of you men have had this experience. You tell your wife how much you love her, and all of a sudden she looks at you. You really love me then? Oh, yeah. Remember that new dress I've been wanting? Remember that living room suit? You know, okay, if you love me that much, prove it. Amen. So maybe tonight God is saying, you love me? Do you love what I love? And God loves the entire world. Then prove the sincerity of your love. Now, women, be patient with me. I'll help you in a minute, okay? But I know a lot of ladies that spend more on their hairdos and cosmetics than they do on missions. And by the way, I'm not against hairdos, and I'm not against cosmetics. I tell women all over the world, do the best you can with what you got, okay? But wouldn't you hate to get to heaven and realize I've given more for hairdos and cosmetics and things of that nature than I have for world evangelism. And by the way, Americans do. That's good preaching, isn't it, men? Oh, none of you dare to say amen. I understand, okay. You've got to go home tonight. Okay. Hey, by the way, men, I know a lot of men that spend a lot of money on fishing, hunting, golf, things of that nature. And when it comes time to make their mission offering, it's very little in comparison. Hey, you know what you're doing? Tonight, you are proving the sincerity of your love. Now notice again in verse 10 what Paul said. Why give to mission? And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. It's good for you. You remember when Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit if I go not away. And it is expedient for you that I go away. It's good for you. And by the way, I preach faith promise all over the world. Literally. Many, many countries. And I've never heard anyone say, the biggest problem I've ever had is when I started giving to mission. But I could give you the testimony of literally thousands of people that have told what a blessing it is to me. It's good for you. I was in Ajax, Canada the other day with Brother Bob Walls. And he said, hey, Brother Sis, there's a fellow from Sri Lanka that wants to talk with you. And I didn't remember him. I had been there many times, but when I met him, and Brother Walls introduced me to him, he said, 25 years ago when you were here, I made a commitment to give $20 a week to missions. He said, last year, my wife and I gave $65,000 to missions. It's good. You say, you mean we're going to give so we can? No, no, I'm not promising that at all. But I am promising, if you make your faith promise commitment and you give it, then God will provide for you. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What's he saying? When I make a faith promise commitment, write it down on the card, then week after week, I give that. Then God will provide for me so I can give to mission. Now, I don't know how God will provide for you. And I don't know how God will provide for me. That's not our business. Our business is simply to give and then to trust God to provide. This is expedient. Hey, by the way, it's good for the missionary. How else could it get to the mission field except people like you give to mission? It's good for you personally. You remember Paul writing to the church at Philippi, thanking them for the mission offering that they'd sent to him. And he said, not because I desire a gift. I'm glad you sent the money to me. It's not because I desire a gift. But he said, I desire fruit that may abound to your work. Think about it. Every missionary is supported by Falls Baptist Church, and you give the faith promise, you have a part in every soul that is saved there. That's put on your account. In other words, you are laying up treasures in heaven. And that's what Jesus said to do. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust are corrupt, where thieves break through, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. It's good for you. It's good for you. Let me give you the greatest reason to give to mission. Look at verse 9. Notice Paul does not say, you know about the grace of God. Look at it in your Bible closely. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, Paul is not saying, you know about the grace of God. How many of you tonight would admit, Brother Sisk, I've been saved by the grace of God. Lift your hands real high. I've been saved by the grace of God. All right? You know what Paul's saying to you? You know experientially the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, and though he was rich, and by the way, No one was ever as rich as the Lord. The Bible tells us that he spoke the entire universe into existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Not just planet Earth. The world, the universe, were formed by the Word of God. He said, now, Brother Sis, you're from Kentucky and you're old. So your science teacher probably didn't know anything about the Big Bang Theory. And he probably didn't. If he did, I don't remember him teaching him science to you. But hey, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke and bang, there it was. And by the way, that's exactly the way it happened. And God said, and it was, Genesis 1. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And Paul in Colossians tells that God created the world. It was created by him and for him. The entire universe. But think about it. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, you lifted your hand. For your sake, for your sake, for your sake, for my sake, he became poor. Oh, how poor he became. Look at him dying on the cross. Gethsemane's praying. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was not thinking about physical suffering, but the fact that all of the sins of the whole world were going to be placed upon him. You think about that. Every sin, every wicked thing that any of us have ever done when Jesus died on Calvary was placed on him. Though he was rich, yet for my sake and for your sake, he became poor. That we, through him, might become rich. Think about it. When Jesus died on Calvary, my sins were placed on him. You say you weren't even alive then. He knew I would be. Your sins were placed on him. 1949, at a Youth for Christ meeting, Norton, Kentucky, when I trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, his righteousness was put on me. And now I stand before him as if I had never sinned. Huh? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why should I give to missions when I think of what Jesus did for me? Then why should I not give to missions? C.T. Studd put it well when he said, since Jesus Christ died for me, nothing he could ask me to do would be a sacrifice. Just a minute. You're going to vote on the budget. The mission budget for Falls Baptist Church. How are you going to vote? I'm not going to give anything. Okay, that's a bad vote. I'm going to give something, but less than I get. That's a bad vote. I'm just going to keep giving what I've always been giving. That's, I think, a bad vote. That's better than nothing, okay? But it's not a good vote. But by the grace of God, this year, I'm going to give more than I've ever given. Not because we can say, look what Falls Baptist Church did, but because Jesus Christ died for my sin. And in 1 John chapter 2, he said, little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. By the way, that's God's purpose for us, that you sin not. You say, well, none of us are sinless. But we ought to sin less and less and less. Amen. There ought to be that sanctifying power in our life. The longer we know him, the more like him we should become. And then he said, And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. By the way, he wrote to the Corinthians church in the first century, Paul did, and said, some have not the knowledge of God. Wait a minute. First century. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak that to your shame. He's speaking to his disciples. I speak that to you. I wonder, Dr. Van Gilderen, what do you say to us in this generation? What's your vote going to be? You're voting. You're voting.